way this game starts is with opening credits. We are going to describe the opening credits of the anime that is this game. And the way all of them are starting, I believe there is like the closest we can get in the Skyjax world to an anime metal opening. The screen is flashing. It's flashing between shots of like people putting on gloves, buckling up armor, putting saddles on birds, and the word Skyjoust like zooming at the screen. And it hits like this massive fever pitch as I think your team, if I recall, is called the Kings of Frogs, or you are the junior team of the Kings of Frogs, so people colloquially call you the Frog Princes. So that logo and your team logo appear on the screen with this intense guitar sting, and then we go into like the actual singing of the anime metal sequence, and I would like everybody to describe anime opening style, what your character looks like, and what they are doing to display their personality in this opening sequence.
The previous shot is obscured by a extreme close-up of a yo-yo covering the camera, and then as the yo-yo then pulls itself back down out of frame, we see this 14-ish, 15-ish year old kid in a flat cap, small pince-nez glasses, and heavy combat boots, strapped with a almost like a bandolier of yo-yos, as he's now throwing them in multiple directions like he's in the middle of doing a martial arts routine. And as he then catches one in one hand and looks to the camera, and the glasses shine white for a moment, he knows what's going on.
Yes, I picture this like you've got these yo-yo tricks and whatnot, like the yo-yos are out there like spinning, sitting, and as the light catches your glasses, lens flares appear on the yo-yos too, and that kind of like whites out the screen.
Yeah, nice.
You see a young girl, 17 years old, dark skin, braids, like flouncing in the, as she skips along, but she's spinning this meteor hammer and flinging things and grabbing like a pastry, grabbing like a bubble tea or something like that. So she's got all of these goodies all gathered in her hands as she's taking sips, and it's so refreshing. And then seeing the destruction around her, she skips to join her friends and kind of like sitting by a fountain and is kind of sprayed with this beautiful water. So we see those like reflective, like rainbow spots in like flecks of water as she enjoys the day.
Yeah, I feel like the camera moves around her, and it is like this glorious shot looking up at her, and there's the spray of the fountain behind her creating a rainbow, and there are also like these little shines and whatnot on the camera lens as well.
So we see Trance, a short girl with about the same skin tone as Serafina, big floofy afro, and black and gold monastic robes, in a rap battle with another monk, whom Campaign Skyjax listeners recognize as Traveler Quan. And Traveler Quan hits her with some very effective rhyme. Trance goes flying back into the air, and Janjan, her pung bird, catches her. And so she lands in the saddle with this serious look, and it zooms in on her eyes.
Oh, nice.
And then like we cut back to flashes of jousting, like, you know, there are two jousters swirling in towards each other for their lances to meet each other. There are people leaping off birds onto other saddles. There are people like firing bows as they are spinning around each other. Then I think the song enters a bridge as we kind of see the glory that is the Frog Princes, and like all of their gear, how it looks the shiniest, the newest, the coolest. And I think this is a good point for us to like point out a vision of like Serafina on her special saddle. There is Dimitri in the library that he has for the spells. And of course, there is like a darker like note that pops up as the PR representative that you have, who I'm going to say has like the anime demon eye glasses where they're completely whited out, holding like their clipboard and whatnot that is looming over Trance, as Trance maybe even has like the liquid swords like pressing in on them at either side. And then we break into happier notes as I just want to know, what is the shot of like all the team together? What is the energy of the team together in this tableau?
I think we're a little, we should look a little like scared, nervous on the back foot, right?
We've kind of been backed into a corner somehow, like in a way of like then locking eyes with each other, like we know exactly what to do, and then we run up the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like you lock eyes together, and on two of your shoulders, like hands appear, and we can see, I guess, not much taller than you, might actually be shorter than most of you. We actually see, yeah, her head pokes out from around like the taller of you, and it's Hildred Gastar, your coach. And like with that, you have like the energy to like run forward, and we go back into Sky Joust. The Frog Princes. Okay, so now we are on to daily life and event. As a reminder, you have made the quarterfinals. I don't know how difficult the match that you just played in order to get into the quarterfinals, but I think the sense is you're kind of lucky to be here this year, and you are up against a team that just thrashed you. You can either play your event, which needs to be a scene, I believe, that involves your character, but can involve any other number of characters, and you can set it up how you like. Or you can play your tableau, which, you know, that can also be any number of characters. But the idea is there's no dialogue. It's just describing something.
I like the idea. I would like to do an event, if that is okay. We are out and about. We are in the field. Even though this is, you know, in some ways or in some technological levels a period setting, there is a mall, and we do go there to eat food and be seen by other cool teens.
We hold court at the food court.
Yeah, Rome had malls and food courts, so I feel like we can swing this.
The Baths of Caracalla, basically a mall.
But it's a moment of like there is a celebratory like group meal. And the kind of like server has put this large plate of a whole bunch of different types of food. I think we're all pretty specific in what we like eating. And we all look at it and, you know, it's delicious. We're hungry. And then we think about the match that we just survived. And then we are less hungry.
Trance is the first to start eating. She looks very, very serious. I think that we had the discussion recently with the PR representative. Where they told us that we needed to stop having fun, and Trance seems to have taken that very seriously.
Serafina is poking at some broccoli with her fork, and just gets to a point where she tosses it down and says, I don't know what we were doing out there. Yes, we won, but at what cost? We broke a sweat. That's not normally what we do.
I mean, yes, sometimes it's easier than this, but I mean, a win's a win. We have to take those. Granted, our EOLO didn't rise as high as it normally would in this kind of circumstance, but I don't know. Maybe it's an opportunity to, think about our weak points and how we can cover them.
Weak points? You think there's more than one?
Who are you staring at when you say you think there's more than one?
I think Serafina is really trying not to make eye contact and kind of going kind of blank and stoic in the face, maybe looking between the two of you to maybe set her gaze further away, and says, I have an appointment, and gets up with her tray.
And as you start to get up, a hand falls on your shoulder. It is Hildred, your coach. Kids.
I stand up immediately.
Hildred will place a hand on your shoulder too. Kids, kind of sounds like we are very dangerously close to pointing fingers and also feeling bad about having won the match. So let's all sit down for a second.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just all this food and just leave. I wouldn't be able to finish it all by myself anyway. Are you hungry, Ms. Gustav?
I'll eat. First, I want to ask everybody a question. Dimitri, are you in the quarterfinals in 3 weeks?
Yes, and I feel...
Serafina, are you in the quarterfinals in 3 weeks?
Yes, I am in the quarterfinals in 3 weeks.
Trance, you in the quarterfinals in 3 weeks?
Yes, coach.
Then it seems like that's good, because that means you're jousting in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
You're very right. You're very right. Good job, everyone. I am proud of our efforts, but I just know that we can play harder and smarter.
I know that too. I know that. This team, yes, last year, this team, everybody who saw your flag on the lists was terrified, shaking in their boots. You are literally the same players, the same team from last year. You've hit a rough patch. You've had some bad luck. Look, I got the lists. While you were up, the messages came in. You're up against the decorated tusks.
Oh, my God. Oh, really?
Them? The decorated tusks?
The decorated tusks.
Like Lieutenant Jennifer Flintlock's decorated tusks?
They made the quarterfinals. And yes, it is Flintlock's tusks.
I suppose they're using the same strategies that they used to beat us before, but that's fine.
Well, I'll need to review the tape from the last game because I won't be beaten again.
Oh, I fully insist that it was entirely a knowledge check. That was the reason why we lost last time. We weren't respecting our turn. They played a better footsies game than us, but we'll be better. We have to be better.
Folks, you have beat the Tusks before. In fact, usually, if we look at the long history, you beat them almost all the time.
Yo, but last that was time, before Jennifer was captain, though. So, sorry, I spoke out of turn, but I think she's something different. I think she's something special.
She's a new gimmick. That's all.
Trance, that is good. It is good to be able to recognize that. And I think being able to analyze your opponent's strengths is an important part of jousting. It's something that I've always tried to drive home. And I honestly think the reason this team is struggling now, this is the first time I have ever seen any of you as this team have to analyze their opponent's strengths. You've kind of always walked all over everyone. And now people are finally rising to your level. And that means you got to exercise different muscles.
And I mean, I'm happy about that. The reason why I got into this was to keep, I don't know, playing new people, going to new places, learning new things about why people love jousting as much as I do. And I'm glad that they're starting to take it as seriously as us, but it's still scary.
It does make the game more interesting when everyone has finally risen to our level. We have some actual competitors this time, but I think I want to get into a more psychological warfare.
I think Hildred laughs too, like seeing the seriousness on Serafina's face. Yes, Serafina, yes. And this is something that you always had going for you too. Remember, everyone was scared of you. Everyone was scared of you.
There's like a glance down at Dimitri's feet. I don't really want people to be scared of me.
As a competitor, Dimitri, as a competitor.
Just shaking in their saddles at the sight of us, the thought of playing us tells them that I've got to play the very best game I've ever played, and any misstep will result in a loss.
Mumbling under his breath. I thought they were shaking with excitement, but whatever.
Yo, did you see there was some fans in our section of the stands wearing Jolly Gander's colors?
What?
The Jolly Ganders weren't even playing.
How did security not resolve this? That's psychological warfare.
Serafina, security does not stop people from wearing jousting paraphernalia in a jousting stadium. The Ganders set up some, they were literally giving away scarves at the stadium. They were just giving them away. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, we have to talk to someone about that, because that's just disrespectful. That's salting the wound, and the game's not even over.
Again, they didn't even play the game. It's the most bizarre thing that I've ever seen in my life. But hey, they are in the quarterfinals too. You will have a chance to, if you want to get back at them, get back at them in the sky on a bird.
Sure. I mean, that's what we do best, after all. I haven't decided what Dimitri like ordered. I genuinely want like a proper hamburger and fries situation. Both of you are probably more health conscious than he is.
I'm just eating broccoli.
Trent stares longingly at all of the carbs on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like a French fry sticking out of Dimitri's mouth, like a toothpick or a cigarette. So like. What's the training regimen coming up? I mean, to get ahead in the game, you know, you're always thinking of new ways to stretch our minds and our bodies before matches, Hildred. So what's the plan?
Yeah.
Well, I had some friends of mine volunteer to do some practice matches against you.
Okay.
Oh, all right. We're doing some scrimmage, a little jamboree, a little friendly a match. I like it.
Yes,
I would even go 3 days.
You are
going to
be jousting against me and the Black Dahlias for training.
Jousting against you?
You?
Yep.
Coach, I'm no disrespect, but would you mind, you know, earmuffing for a second? Would you mind giving us a second to speak, you know, teammate to teammate?
You have the floor, Serafina.
Are we ready for that kind of intense training? The Black Dahlias, that's...
I mean, this is what I've dreamed of.
Of course not, but yeah, this... Okay, we're probably gonna die, like literally die, but this is dope.
Okay, if we play like we're gonna die for 3 weeks, then in 3 weeks, we'll be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is such an honor. This is the kind of thing I always dreamed of. And I never thought I was not going to be here. I mean, yeah, we all know why I'm actually here, but I don't know if I deserve a
French fry. Just eat it. You earned it. Just
Trance eats the French fry with both hands.
Like corn on the cob.
Mm-hmm. Trying to make it last.
I think when Trant's like mentioning like, oh, this is a dream, and Dimitri's like, oh my gosh, you too? I mean,
I know, right?
I never really thought that you aspired to be playing against people of that kind of level. That's really great.
It was the kind of thing that I'd draw pictures of myself doing that when I was a kid, but not.
Well, that is so precious. All right, we have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's been stuff that I've had in the kind of like playbook in my head that I was saving for like big matches, right? But I got to use it now. Like, I could use it to impress. Realizing that if he manically gestures towards Hildred, then she's going to notice that they're directly talking about her and she'll make her way back in. And he catches himself. I could be playing with her. And impressive with some of the text that I've been working on. And I mean, I'm sorry that. And there's a sly smile. I am going to be coming with the most heat in this, but.
Oh, the most heat, you say? Well, Dimitri, I'm ready for all the heat that you have. Trans, are you ready for the heat?
Oh, I'm cool.
Oh, Trans. Very cool.
Trance freezes a mask of ice over her face.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then takes off me. She's like, oh, that's really uncomfortable.
I guess we wave the coach back over to join us.
Hildred, like at this point, you can see her like across the room talking to some people. And I'm going to introduce a trouble. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to introduce a trouble to Serafina. Serafina, you see that Hildred is talking to people that have this patch on their jackets, and like something about like in conversations that you've had with your mother, like she has identified this group as trouble to you. And I've dropped this actually in our Roll 20. This is the logo for the Freelancers Union. This is a union of jousters who are not represented by jousting clubs. And your mother has been complaining about them, about how like they are causing athletes to lose their way and stop listening to their betters, and how it's creating a lot of problems for people across the sport. And the trouble is, Hildred has like taken off her like coaching uniform, like the jacket that she wears for her coaching uniform. And underneath she has like a shirt that she is wearing, and there is a Freelancers Union patch on that shirt. But as she sees that like you have all like turned back to her, Hildred waves and says, "Hey, I'll see all of you tomorrow in the Bright. Remember? It's going to be scrimmage. Scrimmage for 3 weeks. Get ready and get rested."
Aye, aye, Captain. Oh, my God.
Would it be the worst thing in the world if I went over there?
Serafina, do you know who that is?
I have an inkling of who it is. My mother has told me a lot about these. They feel our game as being infiltrated and disrespected in a way by their existence.
Oh? How so?
Infiltration.
They are taking the glamour and prestige away from our game.
Right.
And what are they replacing it with?
Vulgarity, as my mother says. And I think they are more passionate than we are, and that frightens her.
I mean, passion is important, but if the way that they're playing is making it look, I don't know, dangerous, unfun, scary, well, that's unacceptable, honestly.
I mean, we may learn a bit of how they operate working with Coach, since they seem to be in a close proximity to them.
I don't know. I trust Coach. If she trusts them, I trust them, I think. Shouldn't I? Right?
Sure. Maybe it's to, you know, like, motivate us all. Like, oh, these are villains that we need to be driven as a team to go and beat. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yes,
actually.
A common enemy will make us play better together.
Yeah.
What do you say we all get new socks for practice tomorrow?
I mean, there's like an almost like faintly hurt look in Dimitri's expression. Is my current kit not good enough?
Oh, no. I was thinking maybe these new socks are kind of a blank slate for us as we move on to this championship round, you know?
The socks represent rebirth.
Ah.
Yes, my cousin, you are deep. And I always forget how insightful you are. You can make any situation the right situation.
There is a slow nod. Ah, superstition, I understand. Yes, I will wear the new socks for good fortune in our future.
I think we like see you saying that as like the three of you like walk down the mall towards like an area where you can buy socks, and the scene fades out from there. Perfect.
Sky Joust.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master, and welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, we have finished up the Burning Tales solo arc for Sky Joust. Now we're just giving you the first episode of all of the other teams before we return once more to mainline Skyjacks. Again, I am so proud of how the Sky Joust series turned out. I really hope everyone is enjoying it. Once we've finished previewing it over on this feed, we're going to return, like I said, to mainline Skyjacks here. Give us like maybe a week or two so we can finish setting up the Sky Joust feed, and you will be able to enjoy Sky Joust stories on their own. Heroes, we are in the last week of our 2023 Patreon drive. We have one more stream happening, and it is tonight. I'm going to be sitting down with Gian Shim, and we're going to finish our game of The Snow Queen, which we started on stream 2 weeks ago. If you want to catch up, you can head over to twitch.tv/oneshotrpg and look at our videos on demand. You'll find the first Snow Queen playthrough there, along with the truly unhinged stream that I did with two Tylers and two Jeffs last night. I had a lot of fun with that game, so I hope everybody enjoys that. And if you can, please head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to support us. We did hit the $7,000 level and then started our usual dip towards the end of the month. That happens when Patreon starts processing credit cards. But you unlocked the reward for that, which is we released the first 5 episodes of Starwall onto a public feed. So if you're not a Patreon backer yet and you haven't heard Starwall, Starwall is the space fantasy role-playing game that I'm playing with Mel D'Amato, Drew Merzieski, and Ali Grauer. So if you like Skyjacks and Courier's Call, there are a lot of the same people behind that one. And the reason that we're recording together is we all live in the same house. But the game that we are playing is the playtest version of what I hope will one day be the future Skyjacks role-playing system. So it's probably pretty relevant to your interests. And honestly, I think that show is great. And I hope everybody checks it out. With all of that said, thank you to everyone who has signed up during this drive and everybody who signed up for the Patreon in general. You keep this show on the air. Now, a quick word from our sponsor. And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Skyjoust.
So who wants to do an event or vignette now?
So a vignette is that's a non-narrated scene where we just see the character doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no dialogue, but narrated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I got one. I think that's really quick. Mm-hmm. And it's trance in the area out front of our stables, and trance goes through a series of like training motions. You see her practicing with her spear, spinning it, changing stances, going through forms, throwing it. And I think that then she practices her poetry, and as she's doing that, she's manipulating water in the air and making all these forms with it and moving it around with hydrokinesis. And I think that there's a moment where she's a little too forceful, and she propels like an icicle towards the into the barn where all the birds are, and it looks like it's flying right towards Jianjian, her bird, who's this Peng, who's a cormorant-like bird with scales. It actually has teeth and this sort of fish-like appearance, and it's flying right towards Jianjian's like paddock thing. Mm-hmm. And Jianjian actually like raises a claw, and the icicle stops in midair and then melts.
Sick. Mm.
And then Jianjian just goes back to like eating whatever he was eating, and Trance is just sort of like wide-eyed and like looks around like, was anyone else here? Did anyone else see that?
I think you do cast about to see like if anybody else saw that, like, and there are no other human beings around, but one of the other birds like makes eye contact with you and is like, what the hell was that?
Trance is like, Trance mouths, I know, right?
Yeah, that definitely counts as you learning something from Pong.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I shall go, and I guess an event would be nice. Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the event? What did you want?
The event follows. We're at school, and it is a quiet study period, and Serafina is passing notes in class. She is sitting at the back of the class, and she's on the back right of the room, and she's trying to get a note to the top front of the room, and this note is folded in such a way that it's folded into like a beautiful flower. Like it would take some intricate folds for it to be like undone. But the person who is it receives it has that is wearing that same flower in their hair, so they know it's for them.
Gotcha.
And that person, I don't have a name for at this point because I'm making it up.
It's fine because I think the flower is intercepted as it is being passed across the classroom. Because there are many reasons why we don't especially like the decorated tusks. You know, the kind of military background, the fact that they beat us before, and because a number of them go to the same school as our...
Yes.
So as we see in slow motion, the this paper rose kind of float through the air. A well-manicured hand rises up out of the scene and just kind of grabs it, crushing this delicate work in her hand and pulls it down. It is the one and only... Jennifer Flintlock.
And you just, Serafina, like, has two pencils in her hands, and she just snaps with her thumbs and has that whole lines on the forehead, like, I hate you.
She opens it and gives it a scan. Ugh, cringe.
They're cringing at a list of all of the potential suitors that I've had.
Yeah.
Like they've been ranked, you know, 1 through 5, and there's about 9 on the list. And I thought it was a pretty good ranking, but apparently to Jennifer, it is not.
Oh my God. Bobby is ranked 4th.
Well, you dated him, Jennifer, so he dropped in rank.
I was actually going to say you rated him too highly. Maybe your standards low.
Serafina raises her hand to get the teacher's attention.
Hey, I'm worth $9,000 a year.
Bobby, this is not about you.
Money's about me.
It's literally about me. That's literally about me.
You're out of the rankings, okay? Would you rather move down the list or not be mentioned at all?
No, I don't want either of those.
What would you like, Bobby?
I don't know. I feel like I'm being bullied somehow.
You are being bullied.
See what you did,
Bobby.
Jennifer. Jennifer, you are an evil cow.
Moo.
The
or whatever.
Rest of the class goes, ooh.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Jennifer?
Moo.
I didn't quite hear you.
Or whatever. And she, like, dismisses, she like, turns her hand dismissively, and you catch that it turns out today she decided to do a cow print nail polish. You have complimented her looks. You have acknowledged the details in her outfit, you fool.
Lieutenant General Jennifer Flintlock, you are ready for anything, but you won't be ready for this match. Not at all, because this cow is out to pasture.
The class again goes, ooh.
There's a harried substitute teacher played by, I'm just imagining, Tyler James Williams. Just like, sort of sadly.
Directly into the camera.
Looking directly into the camera. And like, sadly, he's like been writing things about like history of Mariner attacks on this region. And then like his handwriting just kind of like trails off.
His is like, I want to stop them, but this is social jockeying for position class. So this is technically within the course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to win, are you? Well, last I checked, me entering in my new team threw you for a loop. You ain't the queen bee around here.
It's okay that I'm not the queen bee today, but I'll be the queen bee tomorrow. And when the history books write of my glory, you will be a sub footnote.
There's like a pause as she is desperately trying to think of like a bookmaking pun to try and turn it back on you, and she's struggling.
Oh, you don't have the spine?
Well, you're a boring book and no one would read you anyway. May I be excused? I feel sick.
You look up, the substitute, the last thing you, the camera cuts to the substitute teacher like already leaving the classroom.
You kids like, stay, I'm done.
Throws the chalk behind him.
It's okay, Jennifer. Take all the time you need. You'll need all your rest for Saturday.
Whatever. Maybe when we win, I'll consider recruiting you. We could do with some boot polishers. And she just...
Oh, that was real
marches,
good.
marches out of there.
I love that she is this mean girl, mm-hmm. but in the ROTC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They come in all shapes and sizes.
There's a proper left, right, left as she moves.
Is she doing corners? Just...
The person that you were trying to throw the flower to is sitting closest to the door and can kind of hear the moment that she's kind of out of line of sight. There's like her pressed against the wall on the other side. She's immediately hyperventilating. What do I do? What do I do? Oh, shoot.
Bobby, go bring her a bag. She needs something to breathe into.
Right away! Right away!
And that's why
that feels like a number three move, though, huh?
Waggling
sure, Bobby. You'll be number three today, darling.
Yes!
Great. I am going to cut to a...
Jennifer Flintlock.
God, she's so good. She's so good.
She's
I love
so
her.
Good.
I'm going to cut to a vignette of my own, and this is one of your scrimmages against the Black Dahlias. Everybody is up in like various different kinds of events. I have done the pre-spread of the events that will be featured in the upcoming competition. They are the long-ranged joust, the short-ranged joust, and the mounted joust. So like these are going to be a bunch of like long range matches and some short range matches and a traditional joust. The traditional joust is like against Hildred. And I'll ask right now, based on that spread, who wants to be training for which part of the competition? Who wants long range? Who wants short range? And who wants mounted? Mounted, again, is like this is where you're flying very fast at each other and trying to hit each other very hard, like a normal horse-based joust that we think of in our world. Long-ranged joust is about subtlety and precision. You are kind of far away from each other on birds, and you are trying to, as like subtly as possible, hit your opponent very accurately while dodging their attacks without moving very much. Then the short range joust is the opposite of that. You are kind of like continually swirling around each other, trying to get position in order to get off a shot and land a hit. So who wants which one?
I would like to take long range, please.
Excellent.
What are you feeling, Mendez?
I am cool with either short. So there's long range, short range, and traditional, yeah?
Yeah, well, so now long range is taken, so it's either short range or traditional.
Right.
Or mounted, I suppose, is what it's called.
Yeah. I'm cool with either one.
Okay, I'll do short then.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on Jan-Jan on a perch. Across from you on the opposite perch is Hildred, who is on Victory, which is a peregrine falcon. You're both kind of suited up. Hildred has a spear, and she's like got this Western style saddle. She's holding on to the handle. There are like flags on either side of you. The flags wave, and both birds take to air. The way this works is you first pass each other and then take a circle. And after you're done with the circle, you come back together, and that's when you strike. So, like, you do this pass, and you're about to come back together. Then we cut to against another one of the Black Dahlias. We can see Dimitri is already in the air. And there is an archer across from him. I think this is a... this is, like... who do I want to say that Hildred hangs around with? I'm going to say... this is a black dude who's like 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a gray beard. He is otherwise completely bald. And he looks like he's half asleep and has looked like he's half asleep the whole competition. And then, Dimitri, an arrow flies by your head, like basically nicking some of your hair.
Mm.
Like, this is... all of a sudden, like you basically didn't even see when he raised the bow to fire.
Mm-hmm.
then we cut to the short range joust. And I think this we are actually watching from the ground as everybody else is looking up at Seraphina and this other bird, who I think this other bird is going to be a common kite. And Seraphina's peacock and it, like, is struggling to keep up as this kite is like literally flying circles around her. There haven't been any arrows shot because Seraphina, I believe, is doing a good enough job that it's hard to hit her. This person probably would be able to hit Seraphina's bird, Dia. However, that's not worth as much points as if you can actually hit the rider themselves. So it's been this like tense thing, and you can see these birds moving around each other. And then we see just like a complete rapid succession montage of like Trance getting hit by a lance, Seraphina getting peppered with arrows, and Dimitri like basically getting his hat knocked off and his yo-yo batted out of his hand by arrows, as you are just soundly defeated over and over and over all day long.
Would it be possible to spend a trouble token at this point?
Absolutely.
All right. So I want to spend a trouble token. So I spend trouble tokens from my store, my set of tokens, on somebody else.
Exactly. Like, you technically have two trouble tokens that you can spend, and you can spend them on somebody else however you want to introduce whatever.
So I will spend one of mine on Dimitri, and tell me whether you want to accept this with conditions or pass on it. I want Big Brother Javon to be there watching.
Sure. Yeah.
You did not tell him where you were practicing. You did not invite him. He just figured it out somehow.
I think this is an instance where our standard tactics aren't working. And Dimitri's like, well, all right, if we have to bust out the magic, we'll bust out the magic. Dimitri's particular field of spellcasting is space displacement, putting one thing in one place and moving it to another. But it can only work by moving something through a hole or through a concave space. So it's throwing it through one hoop and out of another, meaning that there's a lot of specifically engineering circumstances where a portal can be made. He uses yo-yos, so being able to do like a cradle or something to be able to make a portal on his side, not so bad. Other places require some engineering or teamwork. And he tries, there's something about this old man's outfit that actually has like hoops or discs as a pattern in it. Maybe he has like a medallion or like a big earring or something about his outfit. That
he's got gauges. He's got big gauges. Sick.
Perfect. And the archer like knocks an arrow, and at this point, we've been fired at arrows all day. So Dimitri's like, right, I've seen this one coming. I'm ready, and doesn't try to dodge it. And instead, as the arrow is fired, tries to do a kind of like pendulum rock with the yo-yo. Mm-hmm. And it's penduluming. It's going to be pretty difficult to hit the yo-yo itself and instead just go through the hole. But it just hits the yo-yo perfectly, shattering it to pieces.
Gosh. Yeah. It's so frustrating. This, like, you're clearly being toyed with here. And yeah, you can see on the ground, this is all being seen, and there are notes being taken.
Yeah, I think bits of shards of arrow and shards of, like, metal-plated yo-yo fall downwards, and Dimitri looks down and sees that there's somebody there, like, on the edge of the pitch. And he's like, oh my gosh! And, like, dives down and gets to
half-heartedly arrhythmically clapping for what he just saw.
Are you okay? It's dangerous down here.
I'm fine. Dimitri, are you okay? Because I've been watching for like 10 minutes and I feel like I've been here for a year.
Oh!
There's a bit of a ragged breath. I am fine. This is just difficult.
Yeah, it's painful. And you just... Did he break your yo-yo?
I have more, and just pulls another one off the bandolier. He has been, even before he started jousting, Dimitri was collecting yo-yos as like a hobby. And, you know, kids will spend their pocket money on silly things. And initially this was, hey, a silly thing. Yeah. And then it turned into an expensive sub-career for this kid.
I think Javon says exactly those words. He says, look, I get it. Kids spend their money on silly things.
It's important. Nobody expects this. I am the only person who can bring this kind of energy to this space. I think that's exciting. Sister thinks it's exciting.
Yeah, and that's really sweet of her. And I really appreciate that there's someone who's supporting you in this, because I can't.
And at that, walking up is Hildred Gastar. Hi, hello. Excuse me, who are you?
Hi, I'm Javon Hyaku.
Family. Yes. Yeah. Family has to wait inside. Did they not tell you up front? Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. My mistake. I'll wait inside and we'll talk after Dimitri. Right?
Dimitri says, against better nature, you sure were supportive when my last paycheck was able to pay for repairs.
Okay. So family has to wait inside. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Javon. I feel like the practice gets cleared away a little bit. And let's transition to our next scene. Very good.
I'm a little drama gremlin today. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. This is so good for the team. This is good for the team.
So good.
Yeah. So when you accept a trouble token that someone else spends on you, what do you get?
You get a fight. So mark off a fight. I've marked off Serafina's fights. Mark off a fight. You will be able to spend that later on to change the value of a card.
Gained. Thank you very much.
Do you think it was a bit of troubles when I kind of threatened Jennifer in the classroom?
I did add that. Yeah, I gave you a trouble for the introduction of the Freelancers Union and for the classroom drama that we had. Mm. Who is next?
Ooh, I guess
scene or vignette.
I haven't done one in a bit. I think this is post a montage rather than an event. Mm-hmm. And we are back at our training facility. And we no dialogue, but we kind of see that there is a big blackboard that Dimitri kind of uses and has got a whole bunch scrawled out. And we see the kind of like scrawled big up top is the name of this like 3-person play that has been cooking in his brain for a while. Which we can workshop now. I like the idea of calling it like the shooting star or something.
Ooh. Okay, so at 3 points we need to create a larger portal for you. If you can make that like, kind of cat's cradle with the yo-yo, but also the three of us form that kind of cat's cradle.
Mm-hmm.
Either the big one is the initial push through or where the big bed comes out of.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I really like the idea that the premise of this one is specifically putting something through a small portal and it comes out of a large portal to proportional scale. So throwing a small rock into a small portal and having it come out huge somewhere else.
It's very Honey, I Shrunk the Kids universe.
And so there's a kind of like, this is just theory, And he's been explaining it to you very excitedly, whether you understand this or not. And then he's all kind of like dusting his hands like, right, we're going to go outside and try it right now.
Yeah, Serafina is nodding and like in agreement with you, doesn't understand the physics of what's happening, but is so engaged because you are so emphatic. And like, this is a study that she has can't really grasp her mind around, like the theoretical, but practically it'll make sense in the body to her.
So like, Trance, you look at Dimitri, and there's almost like a manic level of excitement in his face, like somebody who just got the biggest, shiniest toy on Christmas, and his parents have said, go have fun, kids, we'll see you in 3 hours.
Trance is trying to keep the stone face, but a little of that infectious joy creeping into the corners of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think Serafina like tickles Trance's chin, like, come on, just a little smile. Just a little one. We're going to have so much fun being so destructive. Yes, let's go.
She gets extra super, super serious, like screwing her face up into like, obviously this is working on her. Mm-hmm. But damned if she will show it.
I like the being like, well, like the Edgar Wright style match cut of our three faces. Dimitri being like, yeah.
Yeah.
Serafina being like sly, like, come on. And Trance be like, no, absolutely not. It is the middle of the night outside, because this feels like it's the same day after we've already been practicing all day.
Same dirty clothes. I think it was like we got defeated. You went straight to the chalkboard and like, okay, Dimitri, tell us what we need.
Mm-hmm.
You've taken the wheel. You're in the driver's seat right now.
I think it's a matter of throwing something up in the air. You two have two of like he gives you one of a yo-yo each. He has spares. Mm. It's fine. And the idea is that it throws something up in the air, goes in through a small portal, will come out of you two with a much bigger portal with the strings that you're holding. Cool. And I'm going to introduce a trouble so we'll have a go at one of these.
Ooh.
Spending one on... Hey, Serafina.
Yeah?
You're tired. This is too late to do this. Like, the energy was great when you went in. And what? Now you're actually doing this. You're like, why? I should be sleeping.
No, I'm not tired, Dimitri. I could be up here. Mm-hmm. My eyes being closed allows me to listen intently with my other senses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Serafina has like locked her ankles underneath like her peacock so that she can like stay up in the saddle, because she will fall asleep and kind of, she's teetering to the sides, like she could slip at any moment, but she's fighting the sleep as best she can.
What's our cue, Trance, for kind of the piece that you and Serafina need to do? Is there like a cue between you so you can sync up?
We're supposed to, we have to chant something in unison, like.
Because then we get to call the name of the attack like a real anime, so that works. You both yell like shooting star.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Something
go
at the
like
same
go
time.
And catch a falling star. The,
mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
The poem. Yeah.
And so are we trying to create a circle, a triangle, or what shape can we two create?
Well, you have a Neo larger hammer, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. So I think we have to. It's a difficult move because you have to get the meteor hammer to be like to arc it into like a half circle, which is of course only possible in anime, but. Fortunately, this is anime.
Curving bullets and all that. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. And then I have to make the other side with ice or water.
Ooh, that's cool. Yeah, and then we like clang in the center, like when our points meet.
Right.
Have you seen those people who are at a chalkboard and they're trying to make a perfect circle, so they have chalk in their hand and they kind of like rotate the
armor?
Yeah. I had a teacher who did that.
Very cool. Yeah, I like that formation. So we catch a shooting star, whoo, and like two conjoining circles meet. And then what, I guess, do you have like a, a gummy bear or something, like a piece of candy that you shot through.
I guess, well, there's a handful of different ways that this could go wrong. You might be tired and that ruins the timing, or the spell doesn't work correctly and we make it the wrong size instead. Like, where do you want it to go wrong?
You fall asleep and you fall into the portal and it shrinks you.
Oh no. And he's terrible. Super tiny for the match.
What if the thing gets so big that it like jets off into the atmosphere and becomes like a reverse meteor?
Oh, we just kind of send a large object just off the horizon.
Flying towards a nearby settlement.
Hopefully it hits the ocean and everyone's fine, but
So Dimitri throws a piece of candy up in the air like a boiled sweet, a jawbreaker or something, and throws out yo-yos on his end, and the jawbreaker disappears like a magic trick. And there is a pause, like too long of a pause.
Right. And you hear Trance going like, too big, too big, too big.
And he like turns around to see the two of you. What's going on? Oh my goodness.
No, it's too big.
And just almost like I like the idea of it's like a cannon. It's now cannonball sized. Just kind of shot puts out over the training field. The angle of that was all wrong, kind of frustratingly, kind of like having a bit of a tantrum atop Pulsar, actually, really.
Dimitri, but look. But look, the cannon hit their poster, and it's the decorated tusks, like their banner. It just totally nailed and fraying.
I think someone sees.
Catches video? Oh!
Hey, you kids aren't supposed to be launching meteors everywhere! Get out of here! Get out of here, you kids!
Just scampering away like we've been caught drinking in the woods or something.
When I was your age, we would never throw meteors.
Scatter!
That was not a thing we did.
All right.
Just feathers and dust and just everywhere.
Sorry, I keep forgetting that it's a dialogue-less thing, and it may dialogue. Hey, no, that's me forgetting.
That's all right, but perfect end to that scene. I believe we've got two more.
I see a mountain and I want to climb it. I see a river and I want to sail. If there's a victory, you know I will find it. Never been the type who is happy to fail. A million miles from my front door, there's things that are worth fighting for. Nothing's gonna stop me, friend or foe.
When it's all we know.
Here we go, rising higher and farther. Only do far and up in the sky.
When we fly.
When we're flying, we're barely trying to only do a show. When it's all we know.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.